First Kings chapter 17. Read down here through a few verses. Beginning in verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. The first thing I want to see as we look at these verses is the prophet. Elijah lived in a time where there were a lot of false prophets, and Elijah, he was a true prophet. He stuck with the truth. He stuck with God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He stuck with that God instead of the little g God, and the little g gods, the man-made gods, and the god of this world, the devil. And he was a man of God, the prophet of God, and he was given some special message from God. And we see the prophet Elijah, and we know that Elijah was one of few that were hanging out and doing the right things. You know, we got a lot of people around the world today that claim to be Christian, claim to be doing God's work, and they're doing things that are not biblical, that are not lined up and glorifying Jesus Christ. And a true prophet, a spirit-filled man of God today, and I'm not talking about stopping the rain and starting the rain and all that stuff. I'm not talking about healing. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about a true prophet today would be somebody that prophesies in line with the Word of God, using the Word of God. And, spirit-filled, we talk about spirit-filled people, and a lot of people claim to be spirit-filled, but Jesus Christ said, when the Spirit comes, they'll testify of me. So when you're spirit-filled, you're going to brag on Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says, that to be ye filled with the Spirit. We get filled with a lot of worldly things. But when you're filled with the Spirit, and you let God dump all the junk out and wash all the junk out with the Word of God and cleanse you, and you start becoming spirit-filled, the more you're filled with the Spirit, the more you're going to talk about Jesus Christ. Isn't it funny how you hear a lot of people, I sold a lawnmower to a guy the other day. Sold a picnic table to a guy the other day, and he shows up, and we talked for a little while, and I witnessed to him, talked to him about the Lord, and he goes, oh, I'm saved. He was getting ready to walk off, and I'm thinking, you know how many people that are blood-bought, born again, that we run into every day that we never talk to about Jesus Christ? I talk to people all the time, witnessing and selling stuff and just talking to people. And the more I talk to them, the more I find out they're saved, and they were saved years ago, but they just don't ever talk about Jesus Christ. And then I catch myself going through days where I talk about Jesus Christ very little. What it is, we get caught up in this world, and the world starts filling us up with the things of this world and the cares of this world. You know, talk about light bills and gas bills and water bills and fuel tank going empty and groceries and the price of eggs and this, that, and the other. We get so busy and so caught up in the things of the flesh that we really don't spend a lot of time being spirit-filled. So we'll make a pit stop before we get back into the message and say this. Jesus Christ said, It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He said, Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to be more spiritual, if you will, and if you want to be more faithful and have more faith, more faith-filled, you're going to get it from the Word of God. Not just preaching once or twice a week, but reading it and praying about it and filling yourself up with it, shutting off CNN and Fox News and filling yourself up with something righteous and good and holy and clean. We're not going to fix the things of this world. Jesus Christ is. And it's not going to do us. You know, the Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We get the spirit of fear from CNN and Fox. We get the spirit of fear from our me phones, our iPhones, our Android phones. We get the spirit of fear. And that's what the world wants. The devil wants you to be on the ropes. He wants you to be afraid. And the Lord wants you to trust in Him and brag on Him and put confidence in Him. And He's coming back to get us out of here, praise the Lord. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad the election went the way it went. It's always the lesser of the two evils. You know, there's always somebody that, you know, we can say, well, that one's closer to what we would like to see than the other one. That, praise the Lord for that. But I wasn't looking for the second coming of Trump. I'm looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only is He going to fix everything, He's going to fix me. There's not going to be a battle in me with me anymore. And you're not going to have that battle with you anymore. The old nature and the new nature, we're getting a permanent new nature. Amen. To be more like Jesus Christ. But Elijah was that prophet, and he stuck with truth. He wasn't going to waver. He wasn't going to compromise. He was just going to preach the truth and stick with God and see what God would do with him. We see the prophet, and in 17, verse 1, it says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." We see the proclamation. You know what he proclaimed? There's a drought coming. Now this is serious. Not only is God going to stop the rain, He's not going to allow the dew to land on the ground. Now let me tell you, without rain, the plants grow, the rabbits live, the squirrels live, those things make it with the dew that are on the ground. He said, I'm drying this place up. You know what I believe the Lord's getting ready to do? I think He's getting ready to dry this place up. He's going to pull His spirit out of here when the church leaves, and this place is going to be dry. I mean, drier than a Mormon church meeting on Thursday afternoon, amen? This place is going to be dry. But Elijah proclaimed a drought to the extent where there wouldn't even be dew on the ground. Make it easier to cut your grass, wouldn't it? But I mean, I'm talking about a drought that's going to lead to a famine real quick like. And then we see the provision. Even though the drought was coming, you know what Amos said in the book of Amos? He said there's a famine in the land, and the famine wasn't of the Word of God, a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. You know the famine? There's a famine of the hearing of the Word of God today. You say, well, yeah, they don't have it in the White House. They don't have it in the church house. There are a lot of church houses that has a famine of the hearing of the Word. I'm not kicking the preachers right now. If you could have a preacher that believes it, teaches it, reads it, meditates over it, rightly divides it, studies it, teaches you. But if you're not reading, the famine's you. The famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Reading it, hearing it, acting on it. And you have, well, I hear people all the time, well, I don't go to church anymore. I went to church and somebody sat in my seat. Somebody took my parking spot. You know, the preacher preached a message I didn't like. I like what one preacher said. He said, why get rid and get mad and hate a preacher that says one thing that hurt you after he said 1,000 things that try to help you? Kind of makes sense. That's convicting, because I've been in that boat in the pews before. I've been upset with a preacher before. Now that I am one, I'm upset with one every day. Amen. Try to take some of the heat off my wife, because somebody's got to be upset with me. But it's easier on you guys if I'm upset with me, amen. You guys can just take it easy. Here we see the proclamation that drought's coming, and then we see the provision. He says, Elijah, go down to the brook Cherith, and I'm going to give you water there. God's going to supply the water. And he said, the ravens will bring the bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. Now, we've talked about this before. I believe that in the last part of the 70th week of Daniel, that late part of the tribulation, I believe God's going to take care of true Israel that way. I believe He's going to do exactly what He did in the Old Testament with the manna from heaven and the ravens and the brook. I believe He's going to do all that. But the thing is, even if there's a drought in the world, there doesn't have to be a drought in your life. If the whole world says, we're done with the Bible, we're done with the Lord, we're not reading it, we're not teaching it, we're not preaching it, we're not learning it, we don't believe it, we're going to throw it away, there doesn't have to be a drought in your life. God can still provide you what you need. In this age of spiritual confusion and spiritual wickedness and all the craziness that's going out there and people proclaiming the Word of God, the name of God, the following the Son of God, you know, what would Jesus do and all that stuff, and they couldn't tell you what Jesus has done? Amen? I think what Jesus has done is more important than what Jesus would do. Amen? What has Jesus done? He paid your sin debt. The death, burial, and resurrection. He came back out of the grave. He shed His blood, God's blood, so you and I could have everlasting life in heaven and live forever with Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do? I'll tell you what He would do. He would come to this earth. He would live a sinless life. He would march to Calvary knowing that He was going to put Himself on that cross and shed His blood to pay your sin debt and mine. Die, went to hell, come back out of the grave with power to victory hell and the grave so you and I could have everlasting life. That's what Jesus would do, and that's what He's done. Amen? What would He do if He was here in the church age? I'll tell you what He'd do here in church age. He would tell people what He's done for them. Amen? I'm not against drilling wells and sending money around the world and all that stuff and helping the poor. Good night. I think we ought to help each other out, try to be a blessing to each other. I think it's part of an inroad to being able to witness. I think it's a good testimony to be a blessing to one another. And you know, we're conservative. Amen. We're conservative. We believe, you know, the Bible says man don't work, he doesn't eat. We believe that stuff. We also believe when somebody's down and out, they need a hand up. Amen. Amen. Not a permanent handout, but a hand up. Teach a man to fish, that thing, instead of just giving him the fish. People need help. But more than anything in the world, people need Jesus Christ. And they need to realize one of these days when this world's over for them, that they're going to end up spending an eternity in heaven or an eternity in hell. And it all depends on what they do with Jesus Christ, whether they trust Him and call out to Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But He provided for Elijah. He said, Elijah, I want you to tell Ahab there's a drought coming. I want you to tell him, hey, the water's going to stop, the dew's going to stop, the food's going to stop growing. He said, but Elijah, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to take care of you. God takes care of His people. Amen? And it's not all based on our faith, but the more faithful you are, the more blessings He'll dump out on you. I mean, we get some just because we don't deserve anything except hell. He paid the debt for that. But He gives us some blessings just because we're His children, and He gives us other blessings for being obedient. Amen? The provision. So what led up to this? Well, the problem. The problem was over in chapter 16, Ahab rose up to be king over Israel. And you know what Ahab did? He decided, well, I'm going to take Jezebel to be my wife. Well, Jezebel was a heathen. Had a pagan god and a pagan religion. Starting to sound like Solomon, isn't it? So Ahab takes this wicked wife, becomes unequally yoked, and ends up following her gods. Starts worshiping Baal, which basically is worshiping the devil instead of the true God. So Elijah proclaimed that drought because of that problem, because Israel was following false gods instead of the God. In chapter 17, the drought's going. No dew, no rain. False worship's going. In verse number 1, it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now you get over here to chapter number 18, and in verse number 17, it says, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he who troubleth Israel? Isn't that rich? The problem with Israel wasn't Elijah. The problem with Israel was Ahab. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Isn't that something? What a fellowship dinner that must have been. So Ahab sent to all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but the Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first. For ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. There was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. He was a nice preacher, wasn't he? Just a loving kind of guy. He mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. Maybe your God's taking a nap. Maybe you ought to holler a little more, amen. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. See, they're doing their heathen thing, their pagan rituals, hurting themselves. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. What a story. And we see the prophet, we see the proclamation, we see the provision, and the problem, knowing the problem was the Ahab and the false religion. We see the proposal. Ahab tells the people, he says, Come down here to Mount Carmel. And he calls out to the prophets of Baal. And he says, Get you a bullock. dress it up, put it on the wood, call on your God. I'll do the same, and the God that answers, He'll be the God. And they go through this thing, and they get the bullock on the wood. They call out to their God, as the proposal was. And we see the powerless. Nothing happens. They were powerless. Without God, we have no power. We have no help. We have no hope. Without Jesus Christ, you have no hope. You have no help. And if you die without Christ, you have no excuse. But they were powerless. When they called on their God, nobody answered. And then we see the proof. You know what the proof was? Remember, the Jews require a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews were used to signs. And you know what? They got a sign. Elijah calls. In verse number 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He took the stones. He built the altar. He put the wood in order, as verse 33 says. Let's read 33. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. You know what altar? I don't know where I'm getting this water thing. He fills it with water. You know what happens again? You know what they're doing? This is the time of the sacrifice. You know what the false prophets were doing? They were putting the altar together, putting the bullock on the altar, put on a show. But I think if we're not careful, we'll miss something. Remember what they were in? A drought. You know what Elijah did? He put the bullock on the wood after he built the altar. Rebuilt the altar. Expecting and knowing that God's going to send the fire down and devour that, and then he offers the sacrifice of the water. The water was a sacrifice. They're in a drought. You know what them pagans ought to be probably thinking? This guy's crazy. We need that water. And he said, here, Lord, I'm going to give you something not out of abundance, but out of sacrifice. And he took that water in that drought and dumped it on the bullock, up on the wood, and then filled the trench. And God accepted that sacrifice. You know, sometimes I think God doesn't answer us because we don't offer Him a sacrifice. We offer Him out of excess instead of out of sacrifice. I think a lot of times God blesses us because we turn loose of the things of this world and say, it's not mine, it's yours, I want to give it to you. Instead of, here's some crumbs, Lord. They weren't even using their own bullock, the other folks. Elijah offered that sacrifice. And the proof was, when the fire fell, God, in His judgment upon that offering, sent that fire down, devoured all that stuff, licked up the dust, took the water, accepted the sacrifice. Then we get to verse 39, after the proof. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Now we see the preeminence. The preeminence was given to God. How many times have you ever got a real blessing in life and you start patting yourself on the back? Say, I worked hard for this. I mean, don't we do that sometimes? I worked hard for this. Boy, I put the effort in and I got it back. And you know, He ought to be the first one we thank for everything, because He's the one that gets us out of bed in the morning. He's the one that gives us the air to breathe and gives us the ability to do what we do. And boy, I worked hard and I deserve it. That's the American way, amen. The American way is to put God way down the path somewhere, and we'll thank Him later. Or we'll call on Him later. But the truth is, without God, you couldn't get on your feet in the morning. Without God, your breath wouldn't mean anything. The food you eat, it wouldn't do what it's supposed to do. He made it all. Amen. But Israel, here they're worshiping all these false gods and taking all these pagan beliefs, and they put God way down the list somewhere, to the point where they don't even know Him anymore. And I think that's where most churches are. They put God and the Bible so far down the list, they don't even know Him anymore. And they're worshiping other gods and don't even realize it. I think the most worshiped God in the United States of America is the God of self. Amen. The God of self. What's the God of self have? Well, the self has a bank account, a house, several cars, wonderful family maybe, and things. I like things myself, you know. If God gave me unlimited resources, He gave me $10 million and said you could spend $1 million of it any way you want, $250,000 would be on a giant gun safe. And $750,000 would be on filling it. Amen. But He wouldn't do that. He'd say, here, take $9.5 million of that and spread the gospel. Probably, you know. But the preeminence. For the first time in a long time, Israel gave God the preeminence. You know what I think is missing a lot of times in Christianity? I think for the first time in a long time, maybe a lot of born-again believers need to start giving God the preeminence. He's more important than anything we have. Matter of fact, we're blood-bought. We're bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If you're saved, if you call on Christ, trust Him as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to hell, you're going to heaven because of Him. You're bought with that price, that precious blood of Christ, and we don't really own anything. He owns us. We belong to Him. You ever watch little kids, how they... Living illustrations here. You ever watch little kids how you say, well, my dad used to say, I brought you in, I can take you out. Amen. I brought you in this world, I can take you out of this world. But when my folks said to do something, they expected me to do it. Well, except clean your room. They weren't real big on thinking that was going to happen. Amen. When they say do something, do it. Don't do something, do it. And little kids are like, I got to do the opposite of both those things. And we say, why are you like that? Why don't you just do what I ask you to do? You ever been that way? If you're a parent, if you've been a parent for over 6 months to a person that can walk, talk, and have some responsibility, you know it. Why don't you just do what I ask you to do? Why don't you quit doing that? That's dangerous. Quit doing this. Don't do that. Don't. Oh, hey, be careful. And they just want to do what they want to do the way they want to do it. And we get frustrated. Could you imagine being God Almighty watching us? I mean, I take the preacher hat off for a minute and just tell you the truth is sometimes He's got to be looking at me going, you really? You spent 3 hours looking at election results and read the book 15 minutes today? Amen. But Israel, when they saw what happened and they realized what they'd been doing, they gave God the preeminence, giving God the glory. In verse 41, we haven't read that yet. We'll read it now. Read down through here a little ways. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat. Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel and cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now and look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go up again 7 times. And it came to pass the 7th time that he said, behold, there arises a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, saying to Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, for that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. We've seen the prophet, proclamation, the provision, the problem, the proposal, the powerless, God's proof, and then we've seen him getting the preeminence. And now we see the power of God yet again. You know what he says in the Bible? It says he measures out the water in the palm of his hand. He meets out the heavens with the span of his hand. You know what Elijah saw? What his servant saw? He saw God take a handful of water and make it rain. Pull it right up out of the sea. That cloud like a hand. I believe God took his hand and took it up there. Talk about cloud seeding. Praise the Lord. What about that? And then rain falls. The rain falls. If you remain faithful, if you're not faithful, get faithful. If you remain faithful, the blessing is going to come. The blessing, if you're saved, the blessing is going to come. The rapture is going to happen. Praise the Lord. That's the blessing I'm looking for right now. But the blessing is going to come if you remain faithful. Could you imagine how discouraged Elijah had to have been? I'm the only one, he said. Probably wasn't the only one, but it felt like it, and he still stuck with God. Amen? I say that to say this, especially to a smaller church. If you're the only one, still stick with God. Amen? It's that simple. If everybody goes haywire and everybody leaves the truth, you can still stay with God. And if you don't, you'll regret it. You'll regret it. Back at verse 40. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Before the blessing could fall, something had to happen. They had to put away the problem. This case here, the problem was false religion. False gods, false worship, putting another guy before God. But if you're here today and you're looking for a specific blessing and you're looking for it so you can glorify God with it, and you're going to brag on him for it, and it's not happening yet, maybe there's a problem in your life that God's put his finger on that you refuse to get rid of. Israel said, we're getting rid of this. We're getting the problem out of the way so we can walk in the power of God. And the rain came. Maybe if we all just get right, get the problems out of our lives, maybe the rapture happened. Maybe he's waiting on that. Maybe he wants to take you out of here in better shape than you're in. I don't know. But they had to get rid of the problem before they could live in that power and they could see that blessing. They had to do that. Thank God we're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all him. But your walk afterward is largely dependent on your decision. And where you put your faith, where you put your focus, and how you plan your future. I'm not talking about planning a 401k. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about one day when you're with the Lord and you go through the judgment seat of Christ as a saved person. The things that pass through that fire, the rewards that make it, are based on what you've done here for Jesus Christ. Not for the flesh. Not for a pat on the back, not for a fat checking account, but because you love him and you're willing to dump that barrel of water out when you didn't have more. Elijah said, here, Lord, we're not only putting this bullock out here, we're giving you the water. Because I know that you'll take care of us. And he did. He did. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Nobody looking around. If you're here today and there's something between you and the Lord, things just aren't right. You know it. The Lord's put his finger on it a few times. You've refused to get rid of it. You can leave that problem here today. Not just leave it and have an empty spot, but replace it with Jesus Christ. Replace it with a desire to serve him and please him and glorify him. And just watch the blessings flow. It might not be what you think it'll be, but he'll bless you. He'll bless you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. We've all got a destiny and a date with death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you know you're a sinner. You believe he died for your sins. You believe his death, burial, and resurrection. He shed his blood for you. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you've never called on Christ and said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I believe you died for me. Please forgive me and save me today. I'm trusting you and you alone. Call on him before it's too late. That's why he came. He came to save sinners. A few moments of silence. If you need to trust Christ today, please call on him the best way you know how. Say, Lord, forgive me and save me. If there's something in your life that you know God wants you to get rid of, ask him to help you and strengthen you to get rid of it.